Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we'll be talking about becoming a piano tuner and technician and how that can be quite an interesting career for a visually impaired person.
We'll speak with Jeff Lan and Don Mitchell of the School of Piano Technology for the Blind in Vancouver, Washington, about how a blind person can do this job, the training that's required for it, and some challenges it presents. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Don Mitchell.
I would say to people, if you like working with your hands, if you like music, if you like interacting with people, it's a great business to get involved in. You get to meet some really wonderful people. You got to be patient. You also meet some hard to get along with people, and some people that can be really fussy and kind of artsy people that can be a little bit pretentious. You have to learn to deal with all kinds of people. And obviously, I think you have to be very independent. You have to be able to get around on your own. Most piano tuners hire a driver.
And there are lots of blind piano tuners and technicians, so you'll have a lot of people to network with and from whom you can learn some tips and tricks.
And as we'll learn, there's really no reason a blind person can't do the full job of piano tuning, repairing, restoration. They kind of draw the line at redoing the finish, but everything else is easily doable by somebody with any amount of vision, all the way down to zero. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Jeff Lan and learn about the School of Piano Technology for the Blind.
So maybe you can introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
Sure. My name is Jeff Lan. I'm the executive director of a unique school. We are the School of Piano Technology for the Blind. We're located out in Vancouver, Washington.
Many of our interviewees and listeners have visual impairments themselves. Do you?
You know, I do not, but my mother was blind. So I'm used to working in the blind community. And before I came to the School of Piano Technology for the Blind, I was the executive director of a retreat and conference center that was designed for blind people.
Where's that?
Up on Mount Hood, which is about 30 miles east of Portland. It's called the Oral Hole Foundation for the Blind, and they do adventure camps for blind adults.
Can you give us a brief overview of the school?
You know, I can. The school was founded in 1949 by Emil Fries. And Emil was a blind guy from Eastern Washington, grew up in a farm, and never really met a blind person until he went to the Washington State School for the Blind, where he was introduced to this whole another world out there, basically. And back in the day, one of the standard programs at state schools for the blind was piano technology. Well, Emil went through the School of Piano Technology, and then he went on to University of Washington. And he returned after he graduated and for 19 years was the head of the vocational program at Washington State School for the Blind. And at that time, they closed the program, which was happening in state schools for the blind all over the United States. Emil said, you know, this is crazy. Blind people can still go out there and make a wonderful living, and it's a great career opportunity. So he decided to open up his own school, and that's what he did. And we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And today we're the only school in the United States that teaches blind and visually impaired people how to tune and repair pianos.
So does that mean that any of the general schools for piano technology will not admit a blind student?
You know, they do admit blind students. The difference between us is that our program is highly individualized. All of our instructors are blind. They've graduated from the school themselves. We have special tools for blind people. Many of them have been designed by Emil and his successors. and we just do it better than anybody else.
So this must be a residential program. How long does the instruction take from beginning to end?
It's a 2-year program, and it's divided into 4 semesters. All total, it consists of about 2,800 clock hours of instruction. And most of that instruction is hands-on, one-on-one instruction. School begins at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it ends at 4:15. They're here Monday through Friday.
So it's a full-time program?
It's a full-time program.
And what do they do over the summers?
Most of them go home for the summertime and come back in the fall.
Oh, so it's just like a regular college program, except that you're just focusing on piano.
That's basically it. But it isn't just piano either. We teach the business of operating one's own program. The vast majority of our graduates go on to open up their own businesses. Others go on to work for school districts or universities, and still others work for music stores. But it is a 2-year commitment. We're accredited by the ACCSC.
Which is?
That is the Accrediting Commission of Career Schools and Colleges. So it allows people who are coming to school to receive Pell Grants. They can also get federal subsidized and unsubsidized loans.
That's really great that you teach the business aspects of that because, you know, in the end analysis, this is a business and you may be the best piano tuner in the world, but if you don't know how to make a business out of it and run your own business, that will result in failure, I would guess.
No question about it. So students learn how to tune pianos. They learn how to service pianos. They learn, as you say, the business of operating a business. So we have courses in money management, marketing, Toastmasters, public speaking, career development. We work with SCORE volunteers.
What's SCORE?
It's an association of retired businessmen. So they work with each individual student to help them develop their own business plan for once they leave. And that's one of the requirements that when people walk out our door, they have a pretty good idea of what they want to do once they get out.
Oh, that's great. So many people come out of their education or training or whatever unprepared for dealing with the business issues.
Are there any aspects of piano repair that you don't cover in the program?
The only thing that we don't teach at the school is refinishing, because that just isn't possible if you can't see what the finish is. But everything else in terms of regulating a piano, in terms of restringing a piano, in terms of voicing a piano, we teach that here at the school.
Oh, that's great. So this isn't just tuning. This is sort of soup to nuts, taking care of all aspects of pianos.
100%. Many of our students also go on to become registered piano technicians. That is the highest level of certification that you can become as a piano technician. And it's very common for our graduates to go out and do that, whereas many people who are out there tuning aren't RPTs. So technically speaking, I think that our students really are very well equipped and skilled to do what they're trained to be doing.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
For this week's focus topic, we'll be talking about what's involved in becoming a piano technician. And for this part, we spoke with Don Mitchell.
Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Very good. My name is Don Mitchell. I am the Director of Instruction here at the School of Piano Technology for the Blind. I've been here for approximately 40 years. I kind of lose track. I started out here in 1973 after graduating from the program.
And are you visually impaired?
I am totally blind, yes.
And what was the cause of your blindness?
Well, I have microophthalmos, and I also was born with congenital cataracts. I really had functional vision until I was about maybe 33, 34 years old, and then my cataract got so thick that I no longer could see, so I had surgery to try to remove the cataract, and unfortunately it was so dense and so tough that it damaged the cornea, so I could see for about, oh, maybe 6 weeks after the surgery a little tiny bit, but then the cornea got all thick, and now I can't see. So Well, since I was about 35, roughly, I've been totally blind.
I suppose you're into music now?
I've always been into music. My mother said that I started singing before I could talk. So I've always been involved in music. I sang a lot when I was a child, took piano lessons as a child. As a teenager, learned to play the guitar, played in some folk groups back in the 60s, played in a rock and roll band in high school. I've played in several Christian bands, and currently I'm playing in a trio called Three Together. We play wherever we can. My wife says we should be called Free Together because we never get paid.
I'm familiar with the concept. I'm in a jazz trio around town, and as the guitar player says, there are tens of dollars to be made in music.
Yeah, my wife says you're a multi-dollar recording star. I think you've made $2.
Now, in tuning a piano, some of the tools needed for doing that have been specially modified so a blind person can do their work a little bit more effectively and efficiently. Can you describe some of the modifications and adaptations that are made to these tools?
Well, that would not be any of the tuning tools. All of the tuning tools are just standard industry tuning tools, but a lot of the other repairing tools and regulating tools that we use or adjusting tools can be or have been modified, or the procedure that is used is modified to make it less sight dependent.
Can you give us an example?
When we work on grand pianos, we have to adjust the playing mechanism so that the hammer addresses the string properly. And of course, I don't know if you've ever, well, I'm sure you probably have looked at a grand piano. You don't really have access to the hammers because they're all underneath the strings and you can't get your hands in there to work with them. So we have a device that we use to simulate the strings. We take measurements from the piano and then we set up this device and then we can put the piano on a workbench. And the device is actually specially made for the blind. For many years, we've had devices like this made by different organizations. And as workers grow older, they die. And we had lost all of the people who were making this tool. So one of our graduates, who is a sighted person, said that he would like to make a tool for us. So this tool we now call the patent regulating rack. And it is made out of plastic and has a lot of adjustments on it. And basically, it's a frame with a straight edge on it that we can transfer measurements from the inside of the piano using some adjustable standards. And then we can transfer them to this straight edge on this frame. And then we can slide the piano underneath that frame. And the straight edge acts as if it were the strings. And then we can get to all of the parts and do the mechanical adjusting that's required to make the piano play properly. So that's one of many.
And for people who aren't familiar with the term, what does it mean to regulate a piano?
It probably comes from clock building. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, my clock needs to be regulated.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
Well, all it really means is a piano playing mechanism is a machine. It has a lot of moving parts, and just like any machine, the parts wear and have to be adjusted to compensate for the fact that they wear. So there are a lot of adjustments inside the playing mechanism that we can change that will cause, for example, how far the key moves the hammer, what distance the hammer moves. We can adjust what distance the hammer stops moving. After you take your finger off of the key, we can adjust the distance from where the hammer sits at rest until it comes up and hits the string. So there's all kinds of mechanical adjustments that have to be made to that playing mechanism, and that's what we call regulating.
So these tools seem pretty specialized. Are these custom made just for you and your students, or can other blind technicians around the world find these tools for themselves?
Well, we would be happy to share them with anyone, certainly throughout the United States, because we have a pretty active alumni organization in the United States. In other parts of the world, we certainly would be happy to share what we have. So certainly we would love to share our tools and our expertise with other people as much as we can.
What other specialized tools might one look for if one was a piano technician who was blind?
One that we're having a bit of trouble with right now is a functional talking micrometer, which is a device that machinists use. And there used to be quite a few machinists, blind machinists out there. And I don't know if there aren't as many or exactly what the deal is, but we used to get adapted micrometers from Science Products Blind, which no longer exists, and then they turned into a company called Adaptech, I think they were called. And last time I checked with them, they said they weren't making the talking micrometers anymore. So we're currently trying to find a source for a talking micrometer. There have also been tactile micrometers. A micrometer is just a device for measuring extremely precisely. I have to measure down to a thousandth of an inch at least accurately. So that's another specialized tool that we've used from time to time. But here again, things change and availability changes. So we're currently trying to find a micrometer that blind people use that works well, that is accessible. We're still kind of searching for a tool like that.
And maybe one of our listeners has a suggestion where one can find a talking micrometer.
Exactly. Or even a tactile micrometer that is well made.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else special?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could go on for hours. Well, some of them we don't actually manufacture, but we have some measuring tools that are tactile. One of my favorite ones is the Rotomatic ruler, and it's just a very carefully calibrated bolt with a couple of nuts on it with marks on it, so you can measure down to probably 1/128 of an inch by how far you spin the little nut. So we use tools like that. We use a lot of just standard tools, but we might use them in different ways, using listening instead of watching. I mean, there are other things that we do where it would just be an off-the-shelf tool that any piano technician might use, but we would have developed ways of using it so that you don't have to look, you listen.
So it's good to network with other people so you don't have to reinvent the wheel to figure out how other people have done this successfully.
Exactly, yep.
In addition to special tools for actually doing the job, do you also have special tools or devices to facilitate instruction to blind students?
We also have action models of about 50 different pianos, so they can feel what a piano from that particular company looks like and feels, and they can get an understanding of what they're going to be facing when they get out in the field.
A couple of years ago, we happened to be on Long Island visiting my parents, and they took us to the Steinway factory, and we got to take the tour of the Steinway factory, which, if you're ever in Queens, New York, is a really interesting tour. And as a souvenir, we got the action model for one key that we got to take home.
And if you're not ever in Queens, there's also a movie that's been made about the Steinway factory and its operations. So you might want to see if you can find that.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And we even enjoyed the movie after we'd already been on the physical tour. Do you know of other similar programs to yours in other countries?
Europe, through the Royal Institute for the Blind, they've always had their own piano tuning program. And, of course, they have their own approaches, and we would like to work closer with them, but we're busy doing our own thing, so we don't connect as much as I would like to. Germany really is quite good about training blind people to tune and repair pianos, but they do it very much like it used to be in the United States. They do it through apprenticeships. So oftentimes, blind people who want to go into this field in Germany would be trained by a working piano technician.
So is there any advice you have for our listeners who are thinking about getting into this field?
Well, first of all, I think that it's a wonderful field to get into. There's kind of a general feeling that, pianos, that's kind of old world technology. The piano's been around for 300 years. It really hasn't changed appreciably in the last 150 years. Manufacturing in the United States has taken a huge drop because of the economics of manufacturing. It's very costly to manufacture something in the United States because of labor costs and taxes and that kind of stuff.
So most piano builders have gone offshore. Most pianos now are being built in Europe and Indonesia and Japan and China and Korea. And there are at least three major manufacturers in the United States that are still in business. So I would say to people who are interested, don't be discouraged by people who say, oh, nobody plays the piano anymore or nobody tunes pianos anymore. One of our workers is on vacation, and I've actually gone back out into the field the last 2 or 3 weeks, and the week before last, I made $3,000 in 5 days. So, and we just live in an average little place. Vancouver, Washington is, you know, there's nothing really special about it. It's about 180,000 people and moderately culturally active, and yet we don't have any trouble finding work to do and making a good living. So I would say to people that if you like working with your hands, if you like music, if you like interacting with people, it's a great business to get involved in. You get to meet some really wonderful people. You got to be patient. You also meet some hard to get along with people, and some people that can be really fussy and kind of artsy people that can be a little bit pretentious. You have to learn to deal with all kinds of people. And obviously, I think you have to be very independent. You have to be able to get around on your own. Most piano tuners hire a driver. It just depends on where you live. Certainly in Vancouver, you could not function on public transportation. Our public transportation is moderate, but it certainly isn't good enough to run a business. So most of us hire a driver, and that's costly, but it's part of doing the business. I do know piano tuners who work in big cities like Boston or New York or, you know, someplace on the East Coast. A lot of them can literally just use the local transportation systems and can get close enough that, you know, sometimes they might have to ask their customer to walk them from the, you know, the local subway stop to their house or something. But there's all kinds of ways of dealing with that problem. So you have to be innovative. You have to be problem solver. And we need students who are interested in this kind of work, who want to work hard and want to be successful, because there's a lot of work out there. And it needs to be somebody who really wants to do a good job and wants to build a business that you can support a family on, and you can get a lot of personal fulfillment from the work that you're doing. So I would encourage people to look into it, and hopefully we'd love to have them contact us, and we'd love to talk to people.
Pete's had the same guy tuning his piano since 1979, and when Don described the characteristics of a successful piano tuner, it sounded like he'd met our piano tuner and was just describing him. Now for this week's final item, how you can get involved in becoming a piano technician yourself if you're interested.
Fortunately, in this day and age, there's a lot of things blind people can do, and piano tuning is one of them.
So one shouldn't be dissuaded from pursuing a career as a piano technician just because one happens not to be able to see so well.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, and obviously the students at your school have a very enthusiastic, patient teacher.
Well, I'm definitely enthusiastic and patient, and I really enjoy working with the students. Sometimes I'm not sure what they think of me, but we have a good time here. We have good working relationships with our students, and most of our students are very successful. At least 70% of our students are quite successful, go on and operate their own businesses and are able to support themselves and be independent. So that's a pretty good track record.
Well, that's great. You're a great spokesman, and you have some very positive things to say. It sounds like you really enjoy doing what you're doing.
Oh, I really do, and if my boss decides to fire me tomorrow, I know that I can stay alive. So that's another good thing about this, is that if you go into business for yourself, you don't have to worry about downsizing and getting fired, or, you know, someone's government policies changing and getting fired, or the business deciding to go overseas. You know, You can build your own little business and make your own little niche, and you can live very successfully.
So if anybody listening were interested in either becoming a student or a supporter or just a fan, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with us through our website, www.pianotuningschool.org. They can call us at 360-693-1511, or they can send us a letter.
Well, that's kind of old school, but that works. What's your mailing address?
It's 2510 East Evergreen Boulevard, Vancouver, Washington, 98661.
And if somebody happens to be in the area, do you give tours or allow people to visit and watch what's going on?
We do. And what we want to do and what we do is if a student is interested in attending, we have them come out for a two-day career workshop. And at that time, it allows them to check us out. And we will also check out their mechanical aptitude, their ability to listen to different tones and to match those tones. And we'll see if they really have the basic skills needed to become a piano technician. And I should tell you that you do not have to have perfect pitch, and you do not have to be a piano player yourself. An interest in music is what we ask for.
And for people that may not have gotten all of that contact information, where can they go?
They can find that in the show notes associated with this show on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net. That's it for show number 1339. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about web and computer accessibility. As the technology advances, screen readers strive to keep up with new ways of accessing information and working with applications. We'll talk with Leonie Watson about the British Computer Association of the Blind, the World Wide Web Consortium, known as W3C, the Access Talk podcast, Leonie's blog, and other sources of information about computer accessibility. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.